This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast.
Hey everybody, it's just the originals.
Oh, boom, boom, boom.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Jason can't make it today.
Yeah, he's like busy and has like a life and stuff.
He's so popular.
Yeah, what the heck, bro? What the heck?
We're so lucky when he can grace us with his presence.
Yes, exactly. So lucky. But unfortunately, that day is not today.
So today you're stuck with just us.
Just us. But we are going to be looking at a game called Logic and Lore. It is a Wicked and Wise game done by Weird Giraffe, published by Weird Giraffe Games. It is
a two-player game.
Yep. It's also designed by Darren Reckner and Jason Hager, if that is how you say your names correctly. I apologize if that is not it. This is a fun little game that Wicked and Wise Universe, so we've actually talked about Wicked and Wise before, so this is kind of in that same vein, universe-ish kind of thing. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about this because technically we got this copy when it was on Kickstarter, and technically it's not a Kickstarter anymore, but you can pre-order it through Kickstarter, and you can pre-order it through their website as well. So sorry that we didn't talk about this during the Kickstarter, but you will still be able to get your hands on that game, and it will have a release date, I think they said, of July of next year.
Okay. I hesitated for a minute because I thought maybe you screwed up with July of this year, and then I was like, oh, it's Kickstarter, July of next year.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, ugh.
Oh, actually, you know what? I think it is this year, actually, because I just looked at it today. It was 26, so it's technically
still this year. I'm still confused that it's 2026.
Yeah, so I know, right?
I think that's where I was like, oh.
Yeah, because Logic and Lore actually has been released, but the Kickstarter they did recently was to have a second edition of Logic and Lore, but also to have the variants expansion to go with it as well. So, yeah, let's talk about how this game works. So, actually, I'm going to go through my introduction of the game. Constellations are out of alignment and need help returning to their proper locations. These stars are assisted by both mice and dragons. The dragons go out in search of information, while the mice catalog the clues to figure out what must be done. Logic must be wielded to sort order from chaos. Each player will race to be the first to align their stars. However, do not count in this game. What? That's wrong. However, close does not count in this game, and if any player rushes to reveal, that could give the victory to their opponent.
Should you be allowed to read that introduction anymore when you can't read?
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Rude.
I love you.
I never learned to read. No. Yeah, so Miss Sassy Pants, how do we play this game?
Very carefully. With a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
This game, I'm going to throw it out there first, was stressing you out.
Yeah, it stressed me out the first time we
played
it.
From the very beginning.
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm going to kind of give you a little visual pickup? A visual picture of how it is set up. That's what I was trying to
say. Should you be doing the description if you don't know how to talk?
Oh my god.
Boom, got you back.
Boom, you got me back.
I did.
Basically, you're going to each, like we said, it's a two-player game, so you're going to line up. Shuffle your cards, which is cards that are labeled 1 through 9, and you each have them. You're going to shuffle them, and you're going to place them in a line, but you're going to put them face down so you don't know what order they're in. And they're going to basically, you're going to face each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in between each of the players are the alignment cards. So you're going to see those laid out 1 through 9. And then what your goal in the game is to try to use different tactics to place your cards in a sequence from 1 through 9. And whoever does that first wins the game. Mm-hmm. And different ways that you can do it would be to use some different parts or portions that they've written into the game. So there's different actions you can take. Some of them are optional and some of them are required. So they use them as more like, what would you call it? More astronomy related sort of verbiage. So yeah. They call moving the heavens, which is optional, where you can rearrange any of your face down cards in what you believe would be the proper position. Remember, they're face down, so you don't know necessarily what number is which. Another optional action would be to align the stars. And that is if you think all of your face down cards that are remaining, you may have turned up some of them because you figured out what they were. You can align them, meaning you can flip them up if you think you know that you've matched all of your cards in the 1 through 9 sequence. Another action that is required is to choose focus. So you choose any two cards from your line of cards that are face down and hold them up so only your opponent can see them. You don't look at them. And then you ask them questions in regards to those cards. So you are able to ask them questions. And if you ever get a yes, then you have to stop asking the questions. So you can ask them whether the cards are aligned. And that would mean that if any of the two cards you show them match a card in that line. So let's say I pick up two cards and one of them is under the 3 and one of them's under the 7. If either one of them matches a 3 or a 7, then the other player would have to say yes. Mm-hmm. And then that action would stop.
Yep. And then you actually have to point to that, which one of those cards, either one or both, to be able to reveal. Because if one of the other ones isn't right, then they have to put them face down so they still can't see them. So they go through the game still trying to guess on what.
So you're kind of deducing which one, and you're trying to take an action. If it doesn't align, you can move on to another question like, are these cards neighbors? Meaning like,
are they in order?
So
if like a 5 and a 6 are together, those are neighbors. If a 7 and an 8 are together, if a 2 and a 3 are together. So it's basically, it goes in sequence either up or down. That's what it means. Are they neighbors, basically?
Mm-hmm. If you did not receive a yes on that one, you can continue. So are the cards symmetric? Do you want to?
Yeah. So that means, do they add up to 10? So both cards together adding up to 10.
Okay. Again, if you don't get a yes answer on that one, then you can ask them one more question and you can ask them which one is greatest. And obviously, whatever one is higher in value, they point to it. You don't flip it over or anything like that, but you can use that information from them to readjust your line to try to figure out down the road or your next turn where you want to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so those are the questions for that
Starlight.
For that choosing focus.
Yep. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Yep. And then the next action would be searching the sky, which is also required. And so, that's searching the sky.
Oh, okay. Shit. Oh, so choosing focus is just taking the two cards and showing them to the other player.
Sorry.
And then searching the sky is asking those questions that we just talked about.
Yep. And then your turn ends, but after the next action would be moving the heavens, which this is optional. And just like in step 1, which I talked about moving the heavens also, you can rearrange one or more of your face down cards like I talked about based on the information you received from the questions. So if you aligned cards, so let's say you aligned one of the cards, but the other one you didn't, you know it's not going to be that number 7 example that I gave or something like that. You want to maybe shift it somewhere else. Or you know that they're greater, the two cards together are greater than 10. Or not greater than 10. Equal to 10.
Yep.
So you maybe want to take those two cards and put them together on two cards that equal 10 instead. Or, you know, you get the gist of that. And then your turn ends after you've completed those steps. And then it moves to the other player.
Yeah. So then what happens is during the game, there's tokens that are included in this mm-hmm. game that you can use to kind of mark off, you know, what's happened, what you think is happening with the cards that you haven't revealed yet. But they also suggest that you could use a paper and a pen. So if you want to be specific on it and be like, okay, I think this is number six because of this, you can use paper and pencil. The tokens are great, and they're actually very useful during the game, but also having a paper and pencil is good for those people that really need to be, like, meticulous on what is happening, you know, with their cards during the game. So, there are, in this base game of Logic and Lore, there are two versions of this. So, there's the Starlight and the Starbright. Tracy just described the Starlight version, which we talked about, where there's, you know, the certain ways of doing it during the game. And then there's a little bit more of a, I don't know if you'd want to say complex or different kind of version of the game, which is the Star Bright, where you're taking those alignment cards, the ones that are rated 1 through 9, and you're flipping them to the other side. And they actually have spots where you can put your little dragon tokens on, and only one dragon token can be on each card. And you're actually, when you have your player token on that card, you're only able to use those, or ask the questions when you're doing the, not the choose focus, but the search the sky
mm-hmm.
Questions. You can only do those that your dragon tokens are on.
And then once you receive a yes on those, same follows through, you can't ask any additional questions.
Yeah.
But what's nice about it is it adds more questions for you to be able to ask or go through or peruse through to decide which ones you feel would benefit playing this round of games. So they add additional ones that you're able to pick, like, if I swap these two cards that I'm showing you right now, would either one of them be aligned? Or what's another good one that we used?
I like the one where it's like, if one of these moved one spot, would it be aligned?
Yep.
Or is the sum of these cards odd?
Or knowing that the number 5 cuts the cards in half, are these cards on the correct half of the board? Mm-hmm. So if you're considering, if you showed the 3 and 4 spot or something like that, and you asked if you were on the correct, I think this one's called the correct half of the board, it would mean that it has to be on that side of the 5. If it's not, then the other player has to tell you, and you know you need to shift those two cards or whatever mm-hmm. on to the other side, so it have to live in a higher number.
Yeah. The only thing that's kind of tricky is that if it's a 5, then it's always on the correct half.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like, okay, do I need to move it or does it stay here? That kind of thing.
But you have to analyze, like, what questions you want to ask, where you want to place your dragon, and you can always replace your token, or you can always replace the other person's token on that card with yours and always get it back. But then once you get a card correctly, guess it correctly, then you have to take away 2 tokens.
2 of your own tokens.
Off of those cards. And so you basically start over again on that, which I didn't feel like that was a bad thing.
No, I didn't think so either. It makes sense, because if you're getting something right, you shouldn't have the upper hand. Just be able to ask questions, you know, more often than somebody else. Another cool thing about that too is, like, say you get to these questions and you're like, I already know that these add up to 10, or this is on the correct side of it. You can skip certain questions while you're playing the game, because you don't want to get that affirmative yes to where you're done asking questions, because once the other person answers yes, then you're done with your turn, technically, with that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's one of those things where it's a strategy of being able to you know, ask the right questions and be able to flip them up and stuff like that. Going back to like when I was like stressed out when we first played this game, I read something incorrectly and we didn't realize that when we got a card right that we were supposed to flip it over to the correct side. So we just kept moving our cards and not knowing where our stuff was and stuff like that. So it really got me like frustrated. But once we figured out the right rules of the game and how to play it, it was really smooth and seamless, and we were able to really get a I'm trying to think of the right thing I'm trying to say.
A good hold on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It made sense because I had a card guessed like really fast, and I had to mark it so that I remembered that one. But it's not that the directions weren't written well or anything like that. It was right in there. It was just missed.
Yeah, it was just missed, yeah. And just like any game, you know, you can accidentally misinterpret a rule or miss a rule and stuff like that, which I'm really good at, apparently. And the one thing I like about this game is even though it seems very simple and, you know, I think some people just looking at it might be like, well, you know, guessing numbers or whatever, it would be can get kind of boring and then it wouldn't really, you know, be fun to play anymore. Like, we played it a bunch of times and it went really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, you can switch the game difficulties on it. They also include black hole cards, which align with your other numbered cards, but they go off to the, like, so it would go past the lined numbers and stuff like that. And so you would have to figure out what is what and also figure out what's a black hole, because those are basically just
black holes.
Yeah, crap cards that just muck up you trying to figure out where, you know, where everything goes and stuff like that. So it really gives it a good look and a good replayability. Another thing that's cool too is because one of the main reasons why Weird Giraffe Games got a hold of us to ask us to review this is because not only were they coming out with the second edition of this game, but they were coming out with the variants expansion for this as well, and that adds even more gameplay to it. So where now it actually adds what normal people would call role-playing dice. So it comes with like a d6, a d4.
Normal people.
Well, people that role-play is what I'm, you know, or
non-traditional.
Non-traditional dice. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, some people don't know that or whatever, but yeah, like I said, it comes with like a d4, d6, d8.
D10
and a D20.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think there's a D12 in there.
Nope.
But with that expansion, what you're doing is you have the mice tokens that will help you out. So like there is, I can't remember what that expansion is called. So, or what that part of the variance is called. So they have another one called Star Flight, where you both have these little cute mouse tokens and you move them around this dice card. And every time it starts at, there is a D12 in there. So it's a D4, D6, D10, D12, D8, and D20. And as you're moving around, you go to the part where it's got a die, and whatever number is on that die, you're going to be able to use that to ask questions. So so a lot of it's going to be like, okay, so they have questions like, is this card lower than the rolled value of the die? Is the sum of the cards higher than the rolled value on the die? Is this card within however many numbers on the rolled die spaces where it should be?
So with some of those questions, we found that they were very beneficial, but then there were some where it would be like, if there was a 15 on the D20, it didn't make sense to ask if it was within 15 spaces of that die value, because that didn't make sense when you were playing with 9 cards. But it was nice to be able to pick and choose what questions like were made sense or were applicable to that.
Yeah. And as you move your mice token from the die you already rolled, you re-roll it again so you get a different result. And it, you know, so then it gives you those kind of questions and stuff like that. And I like that some of them are like, okay, is this one, you know, higher than a 7 or whatever? And it's like, you can say no, but that doesn't mean it's still not a 7, because it could be exactly 7, you know, so you have to kind of be wary of that. So that the dice kind of give you that variance in asking questions in this game. And it all, they also come out with, they also have little cards with the numbers on them for the die. So you can actually put tokens on it and be like, okay, well, that's not this number. Well, that's not that number. That kind of thing.
But then with this variant, then everything else stays true with you being able to shift cards around, flip them around if you're right, do all that kind of thing, except you're incorporating these dice and these mice that move around this board. Actually, you're both moving around the board, and you can use the different, like we said, the different variety to be able to incorporate those different values.
Yeah.
And then the other variable. The other what word am I looking for? Variant.
Yeah, of the
is game. Star Sprite.
Mm-hmm.
And that one also uses those dice. And then with Star Sprite, I almost said Dragon Sprite. Star Sprite, you have those six die, and you actually just select one of them, and you roll it for each of your turns, and then you use the number that you rolled to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the other variant,
mm-hmm.
or... Yeah, just like the other variant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you return that used die for your next turn.
Yep. Yep. So you're always switching up the die, and you get to like personally choose whatever's left on that Star Sprite card to be able to use those die to be able to do it. So like if you didn't want to roll that D20 because you could roll super high and ask questions that are really hard to answer because the cards only go up from 1 to 9 stuff like that, and you want to do a lower die to roll because you maybe want to guess one of the lower numbers, then you can do that to do so. Another thing you can do too is there's also dragon tokens that will also help you during the game and stuff like that, kind of break the game, but also help you to do certain things in both variants of the game as well. So, but again, it's like sometimes when they have expansions, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I really care about this having it or whatever. I like that this has that expansion because it gives it a lot more variance to this game. Because, again, it is a guessing game slash, what did you call it? Why can't I think of it? I had it in my head. Where you're trying to figure out what the cards are. What is that called? Boy, it escapes me now.
Well, it's kind of luck.
Social deduction. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, yeah. Because you're trying to go off the clues from the other player. You're trying to figure out what you've already played and trying to figure out how to get those to go. So, like, as much as, like, we haven't played a lot of two-player games lately because mm-hmm. we have the game night where we play four players, I feel like this is a great two-player game that you just bring out, you can read the rules really quick, and just play it. And it's really fun and engaging. I really enjoy it. I like the art. The art is fantastic on the cards.
Yep. It's really beautiful. Like, the colors are awesome.
It is beautiful. All the little things that are included in it. So, yeah. I really enjoy it. So,
as usual with Weird Draft
games. Yeah, yeah. We know when we play Weird Draft games that we're going to get a quality product. So,
yep.
It's been nice. So thank you to Weird Draft Games for letting us play the Logic and Lore game and the expansion, the variance expansion. Again, if you want to grab a copy, you can pre-order it on Kickstarter. Just look up Logic and Lore. Or you can go to Weird Draft Games' website and pre-order it there. Get a copy for yourself. Let them know that we sent you.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know.
Megaphone.
In the specials comments section,
just Bugle. Say
that the MFG cast suggested this and that they love it. And we hope you love it too, which you will. But yeah. So yeah, go out and get a copy. Thank you for listening to this episode. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG cast.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.